Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
BSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Morning. Happy Tuesday to you. Welcome into the program. Hope it's starting off well. It's pretty nice out there. It's not too cold. Sun's already out. Well, starting to rise. So it's already starting off to be a good day. And it's going to be a good day here on the program because we have a lot we can talk about. And then later on in the show, we're going to be joined by illusionist Lynn Dillies. She is coming to New Bedford to perform at Make Hunger Disappear, an evening of magic and illusion with Lynn Dillies in support of the WISE Full Plate Project to fight food insecurity in our community. The event is happening Saturday, May 11th at New Bedford High School's auditorium, but we will talk with Lynn coming up in the 8 o'clock hour about her work, her career, and making hunger disappear. So one of the things that disappeared was the Titanic. That was 112 years ago yesterday. Well, I guess it didn't really disappear. We knew where it was, but it took until, I think it was 1985 or 86, when it was discovered. I think it was 85. And it was something I was obsessed with when I was a kid because I was in school right at the time Dr. Bob Ballard discovered, and his team discovered, the Titanic at the bottom of the North Atlantic, and we studied it heavily in school. And then we actually were lucky enough, my class that I was in was lucky enough to be one of the classes chosen to go to the Museum of Science in Boston and do a live satellite hookup with Dr. Ballard when he was out in the Galapagos Islands working on another project. And we got to talk to him about not only that, but the Titanic as well. So it was, and then I remember I was doing a report on it. I'd moved to a different town, and I was doing a report on it, on the Titanic, in sixth grade. And my dad said, well, why don't we just call Woods Hole and see if we can talk to him? It was at the time I lived in Sandwich. He's like, it's probably a local call. Let's call and see. And we were able to get him on the phone for a couple of minutes. But it was something that my whole life I was obsessed with. And when the movie came out, I was like, there's too many people that are into this now. I'm not as interested anymore. And I kind of fell by the wayside in terms of my interest level in things. But yesterday, with it being the 112th anniversary of the Titanic sinking, I said, I wonder who the Massachusetts people were, if any, that were on the ship that day. So I found the ship's logs online and went through them and discovered there were actually 17 people. And I was unaware, but I'm sure a lot of Mattapoisett residents know, that one of them was a Mattapoisett resident. A pretty prominent, well, Mattapoisett native, I should say. A pretty prominent Mattapoisett native. But yet someone I was unaware of. And just my own ignorance, but Francis Davis Millett was a painter, sculptor, and a writer. And he lived in East Bridgewater at the time of the Titanic sinking, but he was born and raised in Mattapoisett. He went off to join the Civil War as a drummer boy at the age of 15. Went on to create a lot of famous art, as well as work as a news reporter, including being a war correspondent for multiple newspapers during the Turkish War. And during the Turkish War, he was at times under heavy fire and even helped to save people's lives, and he was awarded many medals as a journalist. As an embedded journalist covering the war, he earned medals for bravery. His best friend was Mark Twain. Mark Twain was actually the best man at his wedding. That's two local people that Mark Twain was friends with, because also Henry Huddleston Rogers. But Mr. Millett just happened to be on the Titanic when it sank, and the Mattapoisett Museum website, which I have linked up in my story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, has way more details about his life. But he was last seen helping women and children onto a lifeboat, and his body eventually recovered. And it's out of the 17 people that were from Massachusetts that were on the Titanic, all but one were first-class passengers. The other one was second class. And all of those who perished were men because, as you know, women and children first. Men give up their seat on the lifeboat for women, unless you're Billy Zane. But there was one particular man, Mr. Edwin Nelson Kimball Jr. of Boston, who did survive the Titanic. So he's the only Massachusetts man to have survived the Titanic. I don't know what the situation was, but he was with his wife. I think part of the problem is, or part of the issue that was going on, was they were letting elderly people on. But he didn't seem that old. I think he was in his 50s, if I remember right from the list. So I don't know what happened there. Maybe that was the character that inspired Billy Zane, the person that inspired Billy Zane's character, who knows. But the important thing is that Francis, or Frank Millett as he was known, died a hero, saving people, helping people onto lifeboats. And there is a plaque on the side of his childhood home, which is at 7 Water Street. You have to go on the side street to see the plaque, but it's very visible. And so we wrote about it, and you can see photos at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. Our way to remember the local hero who perished in the Titanic. So check that out if you get a moment. And then also, I had another article that I published yesterday because this was something that I'd heard about a few times. And when I saw it pop up last week on another story, I said, gee, I wonder if anybody else remembers this or knows about this. But if you remember in the 1970s, or those of us who were around, I was born in 78, so I don't have much recollection of the 70s, but I watched a lot of the TV shows from the 70s when I was growing up. And there was a lot of controversy on television in the 70s. There were a lot of even sitcoms that when you look back at it today, you say, wow, I'm surprised that got on the air. And even if a sitcom wasn't like that all the time, they still had episodes where you said, wow, I can't believe that got on the air. So for every All in the Family, which was, you know, controversial in pretty much all of its episodes, there was a Good Times, which might have a few controversial episodes or a few things that made middle America uncomfortable to see, such as, you know, poverty. Inner city poverty. Or then you look at a show like MASH with the amount of death that it had and the attitudes that it had toward war during the Vietnam War, the tail end of it. So you look at these shows and you say, oh, well, yeah, there was a lot of controversy on the airwaves, even in sitcoms. So when I tell you that a sitcom was banned in Boston, you would expect it to be one of those type of controversial sitcoms. But the sitcom that was banned in Boston was seemingly innocuous. Seemingly a show for kids, really. Hogan's Heroes with Nazis? That's fine. In fact, let's run that every night on TV 38. MASH, fine. All in the Family, fine. Yep. The Jeffersons, that's fine. The show that was banned in Boston was Welcome Back, Kotter. When it first debuted, WCVB refused to air it. And in particular, it was the general manager at the time. It wasn't a unilateral decision. It was the decision of the general manager, who was in charge of programming, who didn't want to carry the show because it was being advertised as this multi-ethnic classroom of students who were juvenile delinquents. And this person felt that putting on a multi-ethnic classroom in the middle of the Boston busing scandal was probably not a good idea. Now, in these days, I don't know how much advance copies they gave to people of television shows. You know, nowadays, you get screeners. So they would have sent episodes ahead of time to people if they were concerned and said, here, here's what the show is all about. But I don't know if they must not have had those or didn't think to send any, because WCVB said, we're not running Welcome Back, Kotter. We're not going to exacerbate the situation when we have violence breaking out, protests. We have to have the police at the schools every morning when the buses drop off the kids that were being bussed. We're not putting that on television. And I think it only took a couple of episodes. So it was 5 episodes before they caved on that because they realized, wait, what are we worried about? This is just a goofball comedy. Nobody's going to watch this show and get riled up about racial relations in Boston. These are the sweat hogs. This is not social commentary, but in a way it was. But on its surface, it was more Marx Brothers than it was Karl Marx. So they eventually caved. I think it also had something to do with the fact that it became one of the top shows on television very, very quickly. That when they saw the ratings it was getting, or maybe the network was giving them pressure to say, look at the ratings that this is getting, and you're putting on, you know, whatever filler content you're putting on, you're costing yourself advertising dollars. You're costing us advertising dollars because we can't sell national ads in the Boston market because you don't want to air this show. And it really is, like I said, kind of an innocuous show. Yeah, they dealt with some themes, but the first five episodes, come on. You're just still getting to know the characters. They can't tackle anything too heavy yet. The worst thing that I think came out of Welcome Back, Kotter was kids telling each other, hey, up your nose with a rubber hose. I mean, that was probably the worst part of it. And then they also had a record album with that, too. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Mr. Weisberg.
How you doing?
Very good. And you?
I'm all right.
First off, are you riding your bike lately?
No, I went to the gym instead.
Yeah, because I haven't heard you mention the bike anymore.
Yeah, I've been trying to do more, like, more on the upper body, because as I'm losing weight, I'm getting a little bit of loose skin, so I'm trying to tighten all that up.
Yeah, I like the skinny pants.
I did not. I always said I would never wear skinny jeans, and then I put those on. I was like, oh man.
No, they look good. No, don't worry about that. No. I'm going to hit on the two subjects you started with, the
sure.
Titanic and Welcome Back, Kotter. Now, the thing that bothers me bad about the Titanic, I mean, it was a horrible, it was really, it has to be the worst thing in a person's life, you know, being on that ship, the maiden voyage, and you're going here and there, you're happy, you're having a good time. But the worst thing, when I first found out that there were only enough lifeboats for one third of the passengers and crew. So when they first made that boat, that ship, boat, whatever, they knew right then and there that if anything catastrophic happened, like that iceberg, not everybody was going home. So why was that? Why wasn't there enough?
Because they thought that it wasn't going to happen. They thought that the ship was indestructible or virtually indestructible.
I mean, that bothers me. I mean, did you think of that? I mean, I read it. I knew it before, but I read it when, you know, you posted the article, and I read the whole thing, and it reminded me again that there wasn't enough lifeboats, and that struck me because, and I know, just like in the movie, it had to happen that way where everybody was fighting. Some men that were trying to sneak on, and I mean, the men want to live too. Gee, we lost all those guys.
Well, there's...
And that one's a mess. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, there's some stories that have popped up over the years that if this had been, you know, the 10th voyage of the Mayflower, they would have had more lifeboats on board. But because this was the maiden voyage and this was hyped up as being, you know, the unsinkable ship, that just for PR optics, they ordered them to put less lifeboats on the ship because they didn't want to see a whole bunch of them on the side of the ship when they were taking photos of it. So that's kind of why they were pushing for less. But the problem is, you know, I don't think anybody suspected this was going to happen on the first night out. For the first
voyage. Boy, what a
great
out. Looking ship, huh? Wasn't it beautiful inside, the pictures that we saw? And
yeah.
I mean, I've looked them up over the years. Many times I read all different kinds of stories about that Titanic, and with the pictures I saw were so beautiful inside.
And well, the other thing people don't consider when it comes to how that all went down is you got to think everybody had been drinking all night on that ship.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
Especially the first class passengers. So it wasn't like they were in their best minds when they were trying to get everybody on these lifeboats.
Well, don't forget, you're there to enjoy yourself, too. So, of course, they were going to be doing all that
right.
kind of stuff. But okay, to save more time, now, Welcome Back, Kotter. When I read your article, bam, I went straight to Tubi, and I was watching episode after episode. It lasted almost all night long. I was in and out of sleep. That show was funny. I mean, look at John Travolta. He made it, though. He came out of there, and what a big star he turned out to be, huh?
Yeah, there was...
And some of
His goal was to become a movie star, and so he was like hesitant to do television. And then his manager said, no, this is a really good role for you. Like this will make you a bigger star than if you started off in smaller movies. And they were right.
Yeah, and now a couple of those major ones passed away. I can't recall which ones. I think that the one that played Epstein, he's gone.
Yeah, Robert Hedges passed away. Ron Palillo, yes, who played Horshack, he died.
Yeah. They were all funny. I thought they were all good.
Marcia Strassman passed away from cancer, who played Julie.
Oh, yeah.
Julie
poor
Potter.
Thing. Oh, yeah. I thought it was a great show. And that principal, he was funny in his own way, too cocky and everything.
Oh, yeah. They needed that foil for them, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was great. I enjoyed those episodes. As soon as I saw your article, bam, I went straight in there. I had the time. So, boom, I started watching. But they get addictive after a while, you know?
Yeah, and you're like, oh, it's only like 20 minutes. I can watch another episode and then another episode and then another episode.
Yeah, but I kind of fast-forwarded when it came to the beginning, the music. You know, it gets sickening after a while. They play it at every beginning of every episode, so I kind of fast-forwarded it a little bit, you know.
Yeah, in those days, opening theme songs were like 2 minutes long, so.
Okay, so since I used my time, I won't get into the Franks and Beans today. I'm sure you're not going to want to hear about it, but that's the worst meal ever. What a travesty.
A lot of positive comments on that story, though. Everywhere that it's been shared, people are reminiscing and saying they still eat it today.
People just don't know, Mr. Weisberg. They don't know what they're doing. No. I'm not going to say I never ate it. Of course, I grew up. I ate beans and hot dogs. Of course I did. It's nothing but fiber. There's no time to get into it at all. But anyway, thank you for the time this morning.
All right. You have a good day.
Two good articles. I love the articles very much.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Yep. You too. Bye-bye.
And I do have to take a break. Hang on. We'll be back in just a few moments. All right. And it is time now to go into the newsroom and get all the headlines of the day from Phil Devitt. On the other side of that, we'll take your phone calls, 508-996-0500. But take it away, Phil.
The House Speaker unveils a plan for foreign aid. Jury selection continues in Donald Trump's hush money trial. And what fell through the roof of a Florida home?
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
House Speaker Mike Johnson is unveiling a plan for foreign aid, calling for four separate bills with funding for Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and other priorities. Johnson explained his plan after a closed-door GOP conference meeting Monday after months of delay. Each bill would be voted on separately before the end of the week, Johnson said. The House is expected to send articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas to the Senate today. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer expected to move to quickly dismiss the charges.
As I've said repeatedly, impeachment should never be used to settle a policy disagreement. That would set a horrible precedent for the Congress.
The next step will force the Democrat-led Senate to take up the matter of impeachment against Mayorkas. Schumer said the Senate will swear in members as jurors the day after the articles are presented. Republicans in the House impeached Mayorkas in February over his handling of the U.S.-Mexico border. Mayorkas is accused of, quote, willful and systemic refusal to comply with the law. Jury selection continues today in Donald Trump's historic hush money trial. More than 50 potential jurors were dismissed Monday after saying they could not be fair and impartial. Trump is accused of falsifying business records to cover payments made to adult film actress Stormy Daniels before the 2016 election. Rust armorer Hannah Gutierrez is being sentenced to 18 months in prison for the death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins. New Mexico Special Prosecutor Carrie Morrissey spoke after the decision, saying the length of the sentencing wasn't going to be any shorter because of, quote, compassion fatigue.
The state has approached this prosecution from a standpoint of compassion for Ms. Gutierrez, for her age, for her lack of experience. My compassion came to an end.
A New Mexico jury found Gutierrez guilty for negligence in loading the live ammo into Alec Baldwin's gun on set, which killed Hutchins. The judge said Gutierrez didn't accept responsibility for her actions and hasn't shown remorse. Baldwin has also been charged with involuntary manslaughter in Hutchins' death and is scheduled to head to trial in July. A New Jersey toll collector says following her gut instinct may have saved her life. Michael Kastner reports.
Jessica Daly usually works as a toll collector on the Garden State Parkway, but not last Friday. Jessica said bad feelings kept waking her up, including a sense that she was going to be in a car accident. So she called out of work, something she doesn't often do. A few hours later, a garbage truck slammed into the Barnegat Toll Plaza and into a collector's booth. That collector hospitalized with serious injuries. Jessica says she wept when she heard, praying for those involved and thanking God that she had that gut instinct. I'm Michael Kastner.
NASA confirming that an object that crashed through the roof of a Florida home last month came from the International Space Station. Part of a cargo pallet loaded with 5,800 pounds of old batteries hit the Naples home on March 8th. The pallet was expected to burn up in Earth's atmosphere, and now scientists are looking to find out why their calculations were wrong.
WBSM Sports.
Well, the Bruins dropped their final road game of the regular season after being shut out by the Washington Capitals 2-0. They wrap up the regular season when they host the Ottawa Senators tonight at TD Garden. And the Red Sox and the Cleveland Guardians round two tonight at 7:10 after the Sox lost yesterday 6-0.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
In its upper 40s, the temperature under clear skies. Lovely day for today. Sunny this afternoon. Temperature climbing into the mid-60s, mostly clear overnight. Temperature will dip into the upper 30s. Another beautiful day for tomorrow under mostly sunny skies. Temperatures on the cooler side, but seasonable. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Cecil Del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Davitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back. Ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Back here where we need ya.
Back here where we need ya.
Yeah, they tease him a lot, 'cause we got him on the spot. Welcome back,
welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back,
welcome back.
And welcome back. 508-996-0500. Yeah, believe it or not, that show were initially banned in Boston. Took five episodes before WCVB lamented and said, okay, fine, we'll air it. But what... I guess the 70s were a different time, right? They couldn't see advanced episodes of it, or maybe they didn't have the same contracts for now. I mean, nowadays, I think it's hard to say that you're not going to carry a show. It happened with Married with Children and Fox, where there were a number of affiliates that were dropping that show because there were so many parent complaints about it. And it turned out to be such a successful and popular show because of the controversy that all of those stations ended up reversing course and putting it on the air. 508-996-0500. Good morning. How are you doing, Lamone?
Good morning, player. So, you know, like, let me tell you, all right, back then, there was a lot of good programs going on. When you talk about Hogan's Heroes, let's talk about that first. Robert Cleary, the last remaining Hogan's Hero member, that cast member. What happened? Him and his sister, they were with their family. They were all being lined up by the ditches. How they used to do them. And then the mother and father said, "Stand behind us, and then lay up under us when we go down. Don't get up till the sun goes down, till everybody's gone." So what him and his sister did, they laid there and they had their parents' blood and other people's brains and stuff on them. And they said they laid there until late at nighttime. And they got up and left. That's how he survived. Robert Cleary, you know, the one who was LeBeau from Hogan's Hill. See,
your phone is clicking like crazy.
Okay, is that better? Darn those witch huts.
No, it's no better. It's just the same.
Ever since talking to Dave, see what happened? Because I talked to Dave. All that Dave thing. Dave. Well, anyway. So I just thought that was like something, like, for instance, like Maude. Maude, you know, remember the author? when she did her show, she wanted her husband to, they talking about domestic violence. She egged him on to punch her. Give me a black guy. She kept begging him to do that. And so that was crazy. But that's what, so that was a big thing. They did that. They talked about abortions and stuff like that. And everything, and all this kind of good stuff. Well, all that kind of stuff that was controversial back then. So that was CBS that was doing that right there. That was, you know, with like the Jeffersons, All in the Family.
Yeah, all those Norman Lear shows that had strong social commentary components to them.
And that was something that's easy, and it's sad that you can't. You could put the same kind of thing out now, but it just might be like politically incorrect, which is so terribly out of line, because this is stuff that should be still talked about. It's still a part of what's going on in the community, in the world. I think it's something that should be talked about. But then again, you know me, I think a lot of things. And so, but that's also awesome. One other thing, all right. I know that Lawrence Hilton Jacobs, you know, Boom Boom Washington.
Yep.
He used to sing that song when he would go on tour. You know, the Welcome Back, you know, about John Sebastian, Welcome Back. That was a good song. I was singing that song. And before I was singing like Mod song, the thing, the Mod. You don't remember that song, do you?
Yeah, Lady Godiva was a freedom rider. Yeah, I remember that song. And then there's Mod.
Yeah, that's right. And then Joan of Arc was the Lord, the God of her, your sister who really cooked. And Isidore was the first bra burner, weren't you glad that she showed up? Oh, yeah. And when the country's falling apart, Betsy Ross got it all sewed up. And then there's Mod. I like Mod. Mod was kind of crazy. Who's your favorite of the Golden Girls?
Probably Sophia.
Sophia, she was neat. She was the youngest one out the bunch, though. You know, everybody thought she was, you know, to be the mom. She was the youngest one.
Yep, youngest one playing the oldest one. Yep.
Yeah, that's all about. That's all about what Disney does. So I think that there's. Oh, there's going. Did you see that movie? There's a movie. Weren't you talking about a movie you saw recently? What was that movie you said you saw?
I don't know.
You didn't see the Godzilla movie yet, did you?
Not yet.
Okay, well, it's good. It's I think that the program, the other show they had on was good, too, so it's all going to go into one. But you know what? I'm waiting for Son of Godzilla to come around. Godzuki, that's what that's where my heart lies. I'm waiting for, I hope that'll be next year. And I did tell you I'm an extra in the Dead Kingpin. The sequel is going to be coming out this year. So look at it probably around October, maybe December.
Well, I'll be looking for you, Lamont. I got to hold you there because I got to take a break. But thank you for the call.
God bless everybody. Have a good day out there in New Bedford.
All right.
Play out. Oh, take one more thing. Yeah, guest you have coming up, Dilly, she looks like Kristen Baranski, you know, the actress.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she kind of does, yeah.
Yes. And she's a good illusionist. I've been here before in Vegas, so tell us, what's up? Tell Lamone says hello.
All right, will do. You have a good one.
God bless. Ciao, everybody. All right,
that is Lamone in Las Vegas and his clicking phone. We got to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments. Good. And so you heard the commercial there for the upcoming comedy fundraiser to benefit Mercy Meals and More. And of course, you can get your tickets at funnyforfunds.com/events. But right now, you can win a free pair of tickets by entering at WBSM.com or on the WBSM app. You'll see the story there. So if you go to the website, right up in the corner, it'll say Win Comedy Show Tickets. Click on that, and you can enter to win a pair of tickets to go see this great comedy night happening on Friday, April 26th at the United Fishermen Club in New Bedford. Again, doors will open at 5 p.m. with a buffet dinner served at 6:30, catered by Cove Surf and Turf, as well as a cash bar, raffles, and a door prize. But keep in mind, this is for comedy fans 18 and up. So you can get your tickets now. Again, funny4funds.com/events, or go and enter to win a pair at WBSM.com. And also, we'll talk a little bit more about this later on, but we're also giving away four packs of tickets to go to the Northeast Home Show that's happening the 26th and the 27th. Or is it the 27th and 20th? Hold on, give me a second. 27th and 28th. So if you want to win tickets to that, you can enter at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app as well. And don't forget, too, by the way, tickets still available if you want to just purchase them at NortheastHomeShow.com. Also, while we're in the mood for giving things away, we're going to be giving away more cash today. Win Cash continues on WBSM. 8 a.m. is your first code of the day. We'll have 10 codes, one every hour. And when you hear that code, you enter it at WBSM.com or on the WBSM app under the Win Cash page, where they have the little box to enter in all the codes. And each time you do that, you are entered to win the hourly prize of $100. And you are entered into the grand prize drawing for $30,000. So if you've been doing this every day, 10 times a day, you've already gotten yourself, oh, now I got to do math, over 100 entries to try to win $30,000. That's, you got to love those odds. So just keep listening. And of course, Win Cash on WBSM, brought to you by Architect Managed IT Services. The fun part about giving all this stuff away for me is that Casey's back, and Casey's handling it all now. So it'll be a lot more efficient if somebody does win, because Casey has the system in place. She knows what she's doing, and she is handling all of that stuff now, taking it out of my hands because I am terrible at it. So she will let you know when as soon as I tell her I've got a winner and I send her the information, she sends it right off to the person and lets them know. So there's no delay. Not like me where it's like, oh, I'll get to that. Oh, I've got to remember to send that email. Oh, I got to remember to contact that winner. Oh, no, she gets it done right away. She's so efficient. And by the way, if anybody's wondering where she was, she had a baby. Little Gavin. So the other parts of these contests, too, or we like to make it nice and easy for you to enter online so that you can give us all your information. Instead of me sitting here and being like, okay, what's your last name? Okay, can you spell that? All right. And your address? Oh, can you spell that street name, please? Okay. Is that New Bedford? No, Dartmouth. All right. What's the zip code? Can I have your date of birth? Well, because I need it. Well, because the form asks for it. And it doesn't matter if I know how old you are. I'm not going to judge you. Right, I know, but it just, I have to fill out what this form says. Okay, all right, and can I have your social, no. Okay, I know, but the prize is worth over $500. I got to take your, so we can avoid all of that while I'm, you know, in the middle of a commercial break by you just entering online. Because when you sign up, it gives us your email address and your name, and then we can just email you and say, here's a form for you to fill out. So much easier than taking down all that information. So if you are not already a user of the WBSM app, if you haven't already downloaded it, what are you waiting for? Go to WBSM.com and click on the Listen tab, and there's an option there to have it sent right to your phone, or you can get it from your app store, wherever you get your apps from. And the WBSM app brought to you by South Coast Towing. All right. 508-996-0500. We will update you on that story about the two people who passed away over the weekend in Rhode Island correctional facilities. People are starting to demand some answers here. And there's a statement that was put out by the Rhode Island Department of Corrections. It's not exactly comforting. It actually seems a little cold to me, but we will get into that when we come back. I've got to take another break here, but we'll be back in just a few moments. Have to turn and leave you here for the news, but when we come back on the other side in just a quarter flash, we'll take more of your phone calls, 508-996-0500. We'll also take your app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And again, if you haven't seen the articles that I mentioned earlier, I have two up there for you to check out. One on Mattapoisett's Titanic hero, who unfortunately perished 112 years ago yesterday. And then also on the 70s classic sitcom that was banned in Boston. Not All in the Family, not MASH, not any of these other, not Maud, not any of these other controversial shows.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.